الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of keeping notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic, and normally what I do with topics, I might say a sin or believe in Allah, that kind of thing. But this particular topic just could be a very general topic. I'm going to talk about a lot of different aspects of Islam or the Islamic faith and the various hadith or saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and best may be upon him, in a very general way. First of all, when the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had two companions had a dispute with some people over a piece of land. And so he went to Aisha, Mrs. the wife of the Prophet, and peace be upon him, and told her about it. She said, "O Abu Salama, avoid the land. For Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, said, any person who takes even a span of land unjustly, his neck shall be encircled with it down seven earths." And so I want to also read something similar, and that is said by another companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, any person who takes a piece of land unjustly will sink down the seven earths on the day of judgment. And so if any of us just go and take someone else's land and claim it on our own, just steal it, then we will be sunk down or taken down into the seven earth. It is just nothing be around us but the sinking down of the ground and into the earth. So we don't want that kind of torture, if you will, whatever goes along with that, for because you took land from somebody. You have to be very careful. You have your neighbor, and he has his land, you have your land. So you can't go and move your fence a little bit onto your neighbor's land, nor can he do that to you, and then claim now this land is mine. No. What the land that you pay for, that you earn or inherit, whatever where you got the land, that's your land. That is legally your land. But to go and take your fist and put it over into your neighbor's land or him into yours, this is incorrect and this is stealing. Or you go to a land where people are and just start taking the people's land. And so we hear about this all the time, this kind of thing taking place, and this is wrong. People think they're getting away with it. Yeah, you're getting away with it now, but you won't get away with it later. You go against people you consider weaker than you, and so you can do whatever you want with them, have your way with them, have your way with their land. And so you one day are going to have to pay for going there and take these people's land. So again, you don't be the one that going to sink down to the seven earths, I'm sorry, and that going to encompass you, will be around you, then don't take someone's land. Their land is their land. That's to give permission to take it. It's okay to take it. You bought it from them, okay, legally, all right, then it becomes yours. But in a situation where you just go and take people's land, this is what will happen to you. In general sense. And this particular hadith that I'm going to read, it was kind of frightening, basically, to me, because I know I learned about what's going to happen, some of the signs or the minor signs that the day of judgment is drawing near, and then you have major signs that the day of judgment is here. Now, this one going to lean more towards the major sign. The Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, he asked me at sunset, "Do you know where the sun goes at the time of sunset?" His companion replied, "Allah and his apostle know best." He said, "It goes," meaning it travels, "till it prostrates itself underneath the throne," meaning the throne of Allah, "and takes permission to rise again. And is permitted, and then a time will come when it will be about to prostrate itself, but its prostration will not be accepted. And it will ask permission to go on its course, but it will not be permitted. It will be ordered to return," meaning to where it came from, "so it will rise in the west." And that is the interpretation of the statement of Allah. And it's going, you're going to find this in chapter 36, verse 38. You could turn to that now in your Quran, chapter 36, verse 38, where it says, "The sun runs its fixed course for a term decreed. That is the decree of Allah, the exalt in might and all-knowing. It runs its course, the moon runs its course." And so basically just saying here that the sun, you wonder where the sun, it goes before Allah, prostrate itself and seek permission from Allah. Oh Allah, give permission to rise in the east. And there's going to be one day when Allah says, "No, you do not have permission to rise in the east. Go back where you came from and rise from there, and go back to the west and rise from the west, set in the east." And inshallah, we don't want to be any place around when this thing takes place, because you know that the day of judgment is going to begin. Today, when you see the sun rise, you're going to see the sun rise from the east. And then when the sun sets, it's going to set what is going to set in the west, and all the things that go along with the sun setting, and sometimes we can see the redness in the sky. For us, that's when we make up one of our prayers with the redness in the sky. And then when that sun is gone, totally gone, and it's dark, then that's when we make our last prayer of the day. And so that's for the Muslim, because we can go by the sky or go by the time that people say it's supposed to be in, the prayers are in, the five prayers, or we go by the time of the sun. And I won't get into when you can't see the moon, that kind of thing. That's a whole nother class. And so in general, we're talking about here is that the sun asks permission to Allah to rise. And then Allah gives it permission every day, until one day Allah is not going to give permission to rise in the east and go rise where you just came from. And so I just want to give you this general information and something to think about and also to discuss if you like, and prepare for it. Now that you know, prepare yourself for sort of meeting your Lord on that day, on the day of resurrection. So what state are you going to meet? A state are you going to meet your Lord? You're going to meet him in a state of submission to Allah, obeying Allah, and being a servant of Allah? Are you going to be a disobedient individual, not being a servant of Allah? It was also related by by Abu Huraira, who is one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, if Allah loves a person, he calls on Jibril and says, Allah loves so-and-so. Oh, Jibril, love him. Jibril will love him and make an announcement amongst the inhabitants of the heaven. Allah loves so-and-so, therefore you should love him also. And so all the inhabitants of the heaven will love him. And then he is granted the pleasure of the people on earth. And so my students, please keep in mind, we do want to love this Allah to say, I love so-and-so. Let you be that so-and-so. And then Jibril loves so-and-so, loves you. Then Jibril tells the companions in the heavens, Allah loves so-and-so, you should love so-and-so. So the companions there love that individual. And you want the individual to be you. You don't want the individual, Allah says, I hate so-and-so. And then Jibril hates so-and-so because Allah hates so-and-so. And he announced to everyone in heaven to hate so-and-so because Allah hates so-and-so. You don't want that. You want to do your very best. And you may say right now, Imam, you don't mean anything to me. I'm going to live my life. Yeah, you can live your life as you're living your life, but understand part of life is death. And you're going to die. Each and every one of us is going to die. And so now, what state are we going to die in? Are we going to die in a state of submission to Allah, and Allah loves us? Or are we going to die in a state where Allah hates us? So let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, Abu Huraira, he also said, I heard a prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, saying, whoever spends a couple of objects in Allah's cause will be called by the gatekeepers of paradise, who will say, oh, so-and-so, come on. Abu Bakr said, such and such person will never perish or be miserable. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I hope you will be among such people. So here we also, if you spend in the cause of Allah, do things in the cause of Allah, and then you want the gatekeeper to say to you, oh, so-and-so, come on. You do want the gatekeeper to say to you, oh, so-and-so, come on. Just for you giving a coin or so, or giving someone something to eat, perhaps the gatekeeper of paradise would say to you, oh, so-and-so, come on, enter. But we don't want the keeper of hell. Because we haven't given to people, and we're not nice to people, and did not feed people, and that the person or the gatekeeper of hell said, come on in. We don't want that at all, my beautiful students. And let me just tell you something else relating to the same thing. And that is narrated by Abdullah, the son of Umar. Allah's messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, when any one of you dies, he will be shown his destination both in the morning and in the evening. And if he belongs to the people of paradise, he will be shown his place in paradise. And if he is from the people of hell, he will be shown his place in hell. So again, my beautiful students, please, I'm begging you, work as much as possible to be amongst the people of paradise. You will be shown your destination here or there. You're destined to go to paradise. You'll be shown that day in the morning and in the evening. And if you're destined to go to the hellfire, you will also be shown that in the morning and in the evening. And keep in mind, there's this beautiful smell that's coming from paradise that you never smelled before, or your eyes never seen before, coming from your destination of paradise. And then those, and that's what you see in the morning and see in the evening. And then you have those that are destined to go to hellfire, and all the heat and the foul smell coming from that place, your place in hellfire. You see it in the morning and you see it in the evening. You, by asking Allah and seeking refuge in Allah from Satan and from any kind of evil, you sort of set your destiny and you ask Allah to put you on the right path. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Surat al-ladhin amta alayhim khayril maghdubi alayhim waladhalin ameen. You ask Allah to put you on the right path, are not those that go astray, are those that incur his anger, those that Allah are pleased with. That's the path you want to be on. And also it mentioned that one of the companions that he said that a place in paradise the size of, I'm going to say a belt, that's simpler. Because you can actually, those of you who have belts, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's better than the whole world and whatever is in it. You see how big this earth is, how wide it is, all the grandeur and the beauty of earth and the riches of earth. And just the belt width in paradise is better than the whole earth and whatever is in it. Just to have that little space in paradise is better than everything that you see. When you go out today, look around you. Everything that you see, if you just have just your belt width of it, length of it, is better than the earth and everything in it. Let me move on, my beautiful students, and that is, we're talking about paradise. It was narrated by Anas, the son of Malik. There is a tree, the prophet, peace upon him, said, there is a tree in paradise which is so big and huge that if a rider travels in its shade for 100 years, he will not be able to cross it. Can you imagine such a tree? Look at the trees around you. Those of you who have trees, all go online if you don't have trees around you. And look at the trees. And look how small they are in comparison to this one tree I'm talking about in paradise. That even on a swift horse, and you would just ride around the shade of it for 100 years, you would not be able to cross it. And so that's where we want to be. We want to be in a place where there's a beautiful smell, the place where you have trees of that size. And I explained paradise to you before, so look it up for yourself, and so you understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about paradise and what is inside paradise, and what would your face look like in paradise? Just general view. It was narrated by one of the Prophet Muhammad's companions. He said, "Verily." He said, verily, 70,000 or 700,000 of my followers will enter paradise altogether, so that the first and the last amongst them will enter at the same time. And their faces will be glittering like a bright full moon. This is a beautiful thing, to have your face shine like the moon. Next time you have a full moon, look at it. You want your face shine like that. And a full moon and its shiny look, usually it's about 3 days. You will see the full moon in the sky, and then it start go to phases and start fading out. Or before it get the full moon and it start phasing in, 3 days of a full moon, and then it start phasing out. So this is what we want. This is how we want our faces to shine on that day in paradise, entering paradise. Let me read you on. I guess just had a few more things I want to read, and then we'll stop. Matter of fact, it'll be one more thing, and then we'll stop. And that is, it was narrated by Abu Huraira. Allah's Messenger said, may peace be upon him, said, Satan comes to one of you and says, who created so-and-so? Tuli says, who created your Lord? So, when he inspires such a question, one should seek refuge with Allah and give up such thoughts. Because Satan is going to bother you all the way to the end. all the way to the end. You're gonna, he's bothering you now, trying to make you do things now, and you're on your deathbed. You may be thinking, oh, whew, I made it. No, Satan is still going to be bothering you and still trying to get you to the end. And when Satan does something like that or try to do something like that, and then like the Hadith said, it's saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he said one should seek refuge with Allah and give up such thoughts. So ask Allah protection. You seek refuge with Allah from the Shaitan. And so this is what you're doing. You want the protection of Allah to be upon you. And so, my beautiful students, like I said, it's very, very general information I'm giving you today. I may have other time. I just general information of various topics. Some may be like a repeat of former topics. That's a reminder. And some may be new generalization I'm going to give to you pertaining to this faith of Islam. I want to thank you so much for listening to me today. You have been attending Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.